Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Maureen Lewis-Stump. Missouri is one of few states at risk for sinkholes. If you have the sinking feeling you don't know what that is, Como Explained is here to help you out. It's KBIA's podcast for local curious listeners. So a team of reporters is looking for sinkhole stories in mid-Missouri. Co-host Jack Howard talked to one team member who scratched the surface on sinkholes.
We're one of seven states at risk for sinkholes, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. And geological concerns have recently been an issue in town between developers and a public interest group. So we have George Varney to explain more. George, what is a sinkhole?
Yeah, so I talked to an associate professor in the Department of Geological Sciences at MU, and he told me that sinkholes are formed when the ground becomes too heavy because of caves developing underneath from groundwater, which happens a lot because of the limestone bedrock, which, according to the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, comprises 59% of the state. And what happens is limestone is softer and the groundwater dissolves it, and when the cave forms, the cavity becomes too big and the rock no longer supports weight and it collapses in. So basically, caves formed by groundwater cause ground to collapse inside of itself.
And why is this a problem in town?
So his name was Martin Appold, and Appold told me that while it's not really so much a part, he hasn't seen it so much in town right now, it is an issue further south of town around the Rock Bridge State Park area, which is where this recent lawsuit kind of took place. According to a Tribune article from last Friday, the Parkside development lawsuit was dropped because of concerns over groundwater being met by the city. And before the concerns of the groundwater runoff, the group was concerned about the topography in the area causing sinkholes and being dangerous for the people there.
And just out of curiosity, what's the difference between a sinkhole and quicksand?
Yeah, so I asked Martin Appold that, and he said that the main difference is that in a sinkhole, you don't have the sediments and the sand or the dirt or the mud like you do in quicksand. So really the only hazard to a sinkhole is that you fall in the hole as opposed to getting, you know, trapped in some liquid.
Their whole investigation is still ongoing, and if you have more stories about sinkholes in Boone County or in the larger Missouri, I'd really like to hear from you, and you can tweet at Como, COMOEXP on Twitter. And we'd really appreciate any input, and we're looking forward to hearing more from the team.
Meat inspectors all over the country are supposed to ensure that the meat we eat is safe. But according to a growing chorus of current and former inspectors and a number of watchdog groups, the U.S. meat inspection system isn't doing its job. Mike McGraw has the story.
You use the knife to open up organs, heads.
While other girls dreamed of being teachers or doctors, Jennifer Bedar wanted nothing more than to be a federal meat inspector.
The only place I do not use my knife is in the carcass rail, because that is more where I'm touching into things. Where I'm palpating into the pelvic cavity to check for abscesses.
She wanted to be part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service.
This is everything I ever hoped for. All my life, I wanted to be on that floor.
She loved the idea of watching out for consumers, as inspectors have done for more than a century. Bedar was hired in March on a short-term contract to work at a large beef plant just up the road from her home in Hooker, Oklahoma. But she lasted barely a month.
I don't feel comfortable with the food that we're shipping.
She was trained to spot problems like abscesses and fecal contamination in the carcasses coming down the line, problems that can harbor bacteria that can lead to illnesses. But she said supervisors often told her to ignore issues in the high-speed beef plant and keep production moving.
I didn't want to be part of a process where I felt that a kid could die, or anybody could die. I cannot live with that.
In the end, Bedar walked away from her dream job, frustrated and dispirited. Federal meat inspectors have always worked in a tense environment, but Bedar's experience points to what many critics call a breakdown of the system.
Well, I've been working on meat and poultry issues for 15 years, and I think this is the worst I have seen it.
Tony Corbo is a longtime lobbyist with a consumer watchdog group, Food and Water Watch. The group was contacted by many current and former meat inspectors who say the system is in disarray. The Hale Center for Journalism spoke with a number of inspectors who say that many of the issues stem from recently announced changes for poultry plants. The Agriculture Department wants to do fewer physical inspections and more lab testing of meat. Critics say the new rule, under which poultry plant workers will replace some USDA inspectors, amounts to a deregulation of the poultry industry. They fear it could spread to beef and other meat. Here's Corbo with Food and Water Watch again.
The remaining inspectors that who will be working in these poultry plants will be refocused to do more microbiological sampling.
The new rule is voluntary, and it's unclear how many plants will opt in. If all plants participate, more than 600 inspection positions will be phased out. In preparation, the USDA has been replacing retiring inspectors all over the system with temporary workers like Bedar. They've also instituted hiring freezes.
We turned up internal documents that showed that over the past month, there's been a rash of plants that have not been covered and have not received the proper inspection.
Several inspectors say they were discouraged from performing thorough inspections of meat, and thanks to staffing problems, some inspectors are driving from plant to plant, working 80 hours a week just to keep up with heavy workloads. Federal auditors say fatigued inspectors could lead to food safety problems, and food safety advocates say it has all resulted in some meat being packaged without inspection at all.
So when you see that inspection legend that says inspected and passed by USDA, it may not be true.
Alfred Almanza, administrator of the inspection agency, declined to respond to these concerns on tape. But his office did respond to some of the questions we posed and declined further comment. The agency insists that the meat inspection system is still effective and getting even more effective. Their spokesman said, quote, "The Food Safety and Inspection Service is modernizing all aspects of our operations to better prevent foodborne illness by focusing on preventing rather than reacting to contamination and other food safety hazards."
When I came to work for the agency actually wanted you to do your job.
Stan Painter was a meat inspector for 30 years and now helps run the union that represents those inspectors. He's had a front row seat to the recent turmoil inside the agency.
Today, I'm of the opinion the agency does not want inspectors to do their job.
Many harried inspectors don't have time to fully inspect meat, Painter says.
The agency has even used the phrase, come in the front door, wave at them as you go through the plant, and go out the back door. And that's what the agency has considered inspection.
And those inspections are what stand between you and a potentially fatal battle with foodborne pathogens. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Mike McGraw.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Maureen Lewis-Stump. Thanks for listening.